we're gonna take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound. Break it
down. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. On this week's show, I'll speak with the pianist Christopher Pitts, one of the most exciting jazz musicians on the Indianapolis scene. We'll listen to tracks off his debut album, Be Free, and discuss his background in jazz music.
I think it's so many different things that collide with what's called jazz. Like, the level of freedom is what attracted me. So the ability to be flexible enough to create instantly.
Some Indianapolis music fans will recognize Pitts for his work with Clint Breeze and The Groove, a band that mixes jazz, R&B, and hip-hop music. Let's start this week's show with a track Pitts recorded with Clint Breeze and The Groove. From their 2020 album, End Time Overture, this is Drowning. That was Clint Breeze and The Groove with Drowning, featuring Christopher Pitts on piano. And Pitts is my guest this week. Let's join our conversation. Chris, thank you for taking time to be here today. I'm a fan of your work and appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm also a fan. It's an honor to be here.
Likewise. It's an honor to have you here. We're going to talk about your what I believe is your debut album as a leader, right? CP3, the album is titled Be Free, features your trio, the Christopher Pitts Trio. This is your debut album as a leader, correct?
Correct. This is my first expression of my own art, per se.
Folks here in the community will know you for your work with Clint Breeze and The Groove. I believe you started playing with them around 2017, and you've recorded with them on a couple projects. So you've been a presence here in the scene for a few years.
Right. Yeah, I've been active, really, in indie for maybe 5, going on 6 years. Clint Breeze and The Groove is a huge part of that. I know, like, a lot of other ensembles, like Sean and Bowden Large Ensemble, who's yet to record, and Andrew Danforth, Evan Drybread Records, and so many other projects.
From what I understand, you're from Atlanta. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm from Atlanta.
Tell me about growing up in Atlanta. When did you get interested in music?
So I was born in Atlanta, and then I was a military brat. So I actually was moved around a lot. So I like to say I'm not from anywhere. So we lived overseas. We lived in Japan and England and a lot of different couple places in Georgia. So my growing up experience is all about adaptation, not really one place.
I think I read in the Indy Star that you started playing piano as a teenager. Is that correct?
That's right. I got like a piano when I was like a junior or senior in high school. And my mom, you know, it was a Christmas present. And, you know, I just started digging in from there. But I'd always been interested in piano. Just from when I was younger, I was introduced to some classical music through like an elementary school program. But I never really played. But I kind of just knew about it. But not on like a deep level.
What about jazz attracted you?
Yeah, what about jazz attracted me?
There's a lot of genres of music out there for a young person to listen to these days. What was it about jazz that caught your ear?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think it's so many different things that collide with what's called jazz. I think the practitioners of the art, like their level of freedom is what attracted me. So the ability to be flexible enough to create instantly. You know, I always liked things that happen without a lot of prep, a lot of setup. Not that it doesn't require that, but in the moment you don't feel that. just like up close magic. I loved up close magic. I love like martial arts, like the hard qigong people that just like do these amazing feats in like 1 second. And it's like, can you train to do that? And that's what I liked about it, I think. And I mean, also the historical connection of the music. It's like there's a tradition there that's a black music tradition that follows through everything that I grew up listening to, from like Motown, funk, rap. I just feel connected to the music. Like as a practitioner of music, I feel like I should include that in my output.
You get this piano as a gift as a teenager. What is your pathway to jazz from there? Did anyone in your family play? What was the next step for you?
I was in Augusta, Georgia at that time. There was a TV show called Cowboy Bebop that had a lot of jazz in it, and I used to like love that show. I studied with a guy named Doug Macy for like a month before college, and he introduced me to like Chick Corea, and then from then I went to school, and I started playing in like the jazz ensembles, and I just kept getting deeper and deeper. But I would say like Chick Corea is like a huge main influence. Like even a lot of people now know me as like a Monkhead, but that's because Chick Corea was a huge Monkhead, and I like found that line through that line, and then I just started making all the dots, you know, just through searching Google and like talking to people.
So this was a lot of self-study, a lot of personal research that got you deeper into the music.
I would say I was mostly self-taught. I mean, Doug Macy showed me the blues, showed me a little bit of like how to start voicing chords. But most of the things that I really ended up digging into were just my own interest and spending a lot of time in the piano practice room.
You came to Indianapolis around 2017, is that correct?
Yeah, around 2016.
16. What brought you here?
What brought me here was I got a job opportunity after I graduated college, and I pursued that, and it landed me in Indianapolis for about a year. And then, you know, I stayed around.
Yeah. I think I saw you very early on after your arrival. I remember seeing you play at the open stage night, the jam session night at the Jazz Kitchen. I remember you sitting down at the piano, and I think Clifford Ratliff and Everett Green were there. Was that a first step for you in kind of getting involved in the scene, the Monday nights at the Jazz Kitchen?
Yeah, Monday night at the Jazz Kitchen when Cliff was hosting, Cliff Ratcliff, that was like a huge Indianapolis step, because when I first landed here, actually the first person I met was Jared Thompson. And I got his number. I was like, I'm moving here. Like, and I saw them play Premium Blend. And I was like, man, yeah, the level of playing here is awesome. I'm going to have a good time. And then I picked up a magazine, and I was reading about Indiana Avenue. And so that started my whole journey down that. And then I met Cliff and like learning about his connection, hanging with him, and like, you know, just his personality, just opening the stage up, letting everyone play, and like this building this community around the music. So that was really huge for me, and leaving a really good impression of indie on me. So that helped me become more engaged with the community.
Yeah,
for sure.
It seems like you were able to find a place in the local music scene here pretty quickly. Did it feel that way to you?
Yeah, I feel like it did a little bit. I would say I was more doing a lot more fusion stuff before. I wasn't really playing as much like you would call straight ahead and stuff. My friend Mario, who you know,
Mario Martinez, conga player,
yeah, he introduced me to Carrington and one of those showcases. I mean, me and Carrington had so much synergy just from the beginning. When we started playing with Clint Breeze, it was very smooth, an exciting like process, creative process.
As I mentioned, you made a couple records with Clint Breeze and The Groove, a dynamic local band that features Carrington Clinton on drums, you on keys, Joel and Nick Tucker on bass and guitar, Jared Thompson on sax. It's a great band. Do you want to say anything about your time with the group and, the great work you've recorded with them?
Oh, man. I mean, that's it. I mean, for me, that's like the highlight of indie was being with that band because, you know, especially at that time, because I told you, like, Jared Thompson was like the first person I met. I was like, man, I really love his playing. Then I was in a band with them and the Tucker brothers, who Nick Tucker is like one of the most amazing bass players. I learned so much from him. And then Carrington and Joel. Yeah, there's nothing but good things to say. I mean, heck, we could have a whole podcast about our times with the Groove.
Something I wanted to follow up on, Chris. You mentioned reading about Indiana Avenue. And one thing I appreciate about you as a musician is your interest in the history of jazz music in Indianapolis. And you've incorporated a lot of that history into your playing. You perform the work of Carl Perkins and Buddy Montgomery, two important pianists and composers who came out of the Indiana Avenue scene. A lot of people in the city talk about celebrating the legacy of Indiana Avenue and its history. But you're actually doing it in a very meaningful way and taking it to people through your performances. Tell me about your interest in that history and how you've absorbed it into your playing and performance.
Yeah, I think it's an important piece of music history in general. I mean, the initial spark is my connection to like just understanding the history of the music that we're playing and building on that community, that tradition, and bringing it to the forefront. Specifically with Indiana Avenue, there's not a lot of preservation that happened. You know, I was working on a photo project with Jess Niger, one of my good friends, who's a photographer, and we were going to scout the locations, and it's like very tough to find like a modern day image that we could use to represent that history. So I think one of the best things to do is just to play the music, you know. And as a pianist, I think Buddy Montgomery and Carl Perkins are super important, but I don't know that they're celebrated as much as like someone like Chick Corea or something like that. And being an indie-based pianist, I feel like is important to celebrate that history and also learn from them, learn the geography, the sound of the where you are. I think the place matters.
Chris, I want to jump into your debut release as a leader with the Christopher Pitts Trio, or CP3 as you call it. The album is titled Be Free. First, tell us about the musicians who we're going to hear on these recordings.
Yeah, so no new surprises here. Nick Tucker on bass and Carrington Clinton on the drums. This current format of the trio is probably my longest running one. I mean, it wasn't initially Nick and Carrington. There was different iterations, but this is the one that kind of developed and lasted the longest. And we've been developing a rhythmic vocabulary and a way of playing as a trio that I've been searching for a while, for years. We've been chasing that flexibility as a group. I felt like it was time to record.
The record sounds great, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. And it was recorded live. Tell us where you recorded this.
Yeah, so this was live at the Jazz Kitchen. Just from one date, really. There's one track that came from another date that I recorded earlier that I wanted to include, but for the most part, it's all from one date. Pretty stressful single day of live. But, you know, I had to get it out of the way, because if I try to go to the studio, then we might not ever have the album, because I'll be like, oh, that's not right. Oh, that's not right.
Well, I'm glad you're putting this out. It sounds amazing. And the first track I want to play is the opening track on the project. It's titled Untitled, and it features spoken word samples of James Baldwin. Tell me about this piece and why it was important for you to include the voice of James Baldwin on this record.
Yeah, I think that speech, there's actually, it came from two different ones that I cut together. I think him talking about the mission of art and like what an artist is something that I was thinking about like the purpose of what I'm doing, what we're doing. I always try to make whatever I create like have a meaning. And I was just thinking about that question, and he had the answer. James Baldwin has a lot of answers. So I wanted to include that as an inspiration for improvisation, but also it's just to me like a to maintain like this modern aesthetic, this hip-hop aesthetic of using samples and things like that. I want that to come across in the music.
Yeah, it's a great track. Let's listen to it now. This is the Christopher Pitts Trio with Untitled.
In order to keep alive, in order to become a human being, really, one has got to question everything.
Cultural Manifesto will return with more words and music from Christopher Pitts after this short break. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is the jazz pianist Christopher Pitts. We're exploring his debut album as a leader, Be Free. Let's return to our conversation. And Chris, the next track I want to play is Big Bang, which is one of my favorite tracks on the record. It's very dynamic. This is not a smooth jazz trio. It's not a smooth jazz record. In the tradition of great classic jazz music, there are dissonances and discord in this music. Tell me about that aspect of your playing. Is that intentional to include those sorts of harsher sounds along with the more beautiful tones and playing that we hear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love the avant-garde. I mean, huge inspiration for me. Andrew Hill, Thelonious Monk, Jason Moran, just to name a few. Horace Parlin. It's about the balance for me. And it's particularly with Big Bang. I was literally thinking about the Big Bang. So like the destruction and the beauty of creation. And so I wanted that to like showcase in the music, to develop from this peaceful space to this destruction to nothingness to something else, you know. So that's very intentional, and I hope it sounds intentional.
It does. <Yeah. laughs> I ask because a lot of jazz music that's presented now is more like cocktail music, just some light background music. How do audiences react to pieces like this in your performance?
So far, I've gotten like good feedback, or feedback that I would want when I perform live and stuff. It's always been scary, and that's part of why it's called Be Free, because, you know, you never know how that's going to be received and if you can pull it off. And I think we've gotten to the point where we can convincingly go there and take it back, and the audience is going with us.
Yeah, let's listen to that track. This is the Christopher Pitts Trio with Big Bang. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest is the pianist and band leader, Christopher Pitts. We're listening to tracks from his album, Be Free, with the Christopher Pitts Trio. And earlier, I watched an interview with you. It was on like one of those TV morning shows. And you, this isn't going anywhere weird, but you referred to the music you make as social music. And I've heard a lot of jazz musicians use that phrase. What does that mean to you? And is that kind of how you describe the music you play?
Yeah, and I would like to give credit to whoever coined the term. I can't remember who it was, but I think...
Was it Miles Davis? I always hear him credited for that, but I don't know.
Maybe, some old jazz head, But what it means to me is is everything that we're doing. So especially in the trio setting, everything is a communication. And, you know, people are always like, oh, I love watching you and Carrington. Y'all are like battling. It's like, I mean, they see it as battling, but, you know, it's communicating through rhythm, communicating through the music, because the moments come and then you have to be like, oh, are we going to use this moment? Are we going to skip this moment and go to the next one? So we're always talking, but we're also doing that with the audience, and like, depending on how the audience is, you know, that will change our conversation, the topic. So to me, it encompasses everything that we're doing. And improvisation is what we do as humans. So I think it just means, that's just like a simple definition to me.
I think that quality of battling is evident in the next track I'm going to share, which is Passage. This track has a lot of energy and intensity, and there is a lot of interplay between you and Nick and Carrington. Tell me about this piece, and is there that spirit of sort of a musical battling going on here?
Yeah, in a way. I'll tell you a secret about that one. When we played that live, we actually changed the time. So it's normally in 7, but we ended up playing it in 5. So there was a lot of communication. So it was really fun. But yeah, I mean, I think that one highlights, you know, our interplay a lot. So going with the flow, since we've been doing that for so often, even when things go away that we didn't plan, we kind of figure out a way to bring it back.
Is this one of your original compositions?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is original.
Yeah. Great piece. We're going to listen to it now. This is the Christopher Pitts Trio with Passage. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is Christopher Pitts of the Christopher Pitts Trio. We just heard a track from their debut release, Be Free. And Chris, you mentioned earlier you're a fan of Thelonious Monk. You record two of his compositions on this record, I believe, one of which is Round Midnight, which is one of the most famous jazz standards of all time. It's been covered millions of times. I'm curious why you wanted to take this piece on. I love your version, but what did you feel like you could add to this track that millions of others haven't?
Yeah.
If that's a valid question.
I don't know.
Did you want to bring to this performance of this beautiful composition from Monk?
I think that I'm mostly asking Monk to bring me something. I'm asking him to bring the beauty of this writing to this collection of tunes, because and this is one of the ones that was actually from an earlier date. But I wanted to include two Monk pieces as a tribute, and just to have like a nice ballad on the album, like a straight up ballad. And also, I mean, it's a tune that we have an arrangement of, which we didn't fully play on this. So it was just kind of like a nice little, you know, here's a standard, you know. That's actually two standards, but Off Minor I don't think is played as much as Round Midnight, for sure.
Great answer and great version of this incredible classic from Thelonious Monk. This is the Christopher Pitts Trio performing Round Midnight. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. I've been speaking with Christopher Pitts, a pianist and the band leader of the Christopher Pitts Trio. We just heard his version of Round Midnight off the group's debut release, Be Free. And Chris, the last track I had picked out to play is Joe Benjala. And on the record, you give a pretty lengthy description of some of the history behind this track. How much of that do you want to share with our listeners, or should I just play your spoken word dialogue from the club? Do you want to share what this piece is about, what inspired it?
Yeah, I mean, man, so that was inspired by a story that I heard, going back to connecting things with history. You know, I explain it, like, I think I explained it enough on the record that I don't know that I would add too much to that. And I left that on there so that there was context for the audience. But basically, I mean, this prince, I learned about this in Savannah, Georgia. I was at the Griffin Tea Room, which is a beautiful, like, tea house, and they have a piano in there. And then I was walking outside. I had played there some piano, and I was walking around looking at the plaques, and I was looking at Oglethorpe, and I was thinking about my time in Georgia history class, which is like a mandatory class you have to take. And I learned this story about Joe Binjala, and then I just started researching it. And while I was there, I just heard this kind of like this rhythm. And it's like very, it's in an odd time signature. I think it's in like 11 or something, which is very unusual. You know, I don't really do a lot of odd time stuff, which it was very hard. And like, this was actually our first time performing that. So I decided to keep it on there just to go along with the mantra of being free. You know, I don't know that it's perfect. I definitely want to revisit it in like a studio setting, but I hope that people can appreciate the story and the hear that drama in the music.
Yeah, let's listen. This is the Christopher Pitts Trio with Joe Binjala. That was the Christopher Pitts Trio with Joe Binjala. My guest this week is Christopher Pitts, a pianist and the band leader of the Christopher Pitts Trio. We've been listening to tracks from their debut album, Be Free. Any final thoughts you want to share? I appreciate you being here, and I'm so glad you put this album out. I'm a fan of yours, and I've been waiting for you to release something for a while. So congratulations. Any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I hope you guys appreciate the album, and I appreciate you, Kyle, for thinking of me and keep pushing me forward to get something on wax. So, you know, I'm going to work on some new projects now that I've gotten that one under my belt. I got the bug. So I got volume 2 and 3 coming out, and there'll be kind of different vibes, but thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah. Our listeners can learn more about you and your work online at cppiano.com. Chris, the record is amazing. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Hal.
That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you to my guest, Christopher Pitts. Listen, download, and subscribe to the Cultural Manifesto podcast at WFYI.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. Cultural Manifesto is hosted and produced by me, Kyle Long. Thank you for listening.